Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
Amen. Welcome to Kingdom Culture. You guys can take a seat. So good to have you in the house with us this morning. It's summertime. I heard people are enjoying the outside, but hey, don't forget about church. Don't forget about Sunday. Just because it's nice outside, come on. The gathering is important. These moments are important. Worship is important. Yeah, I just got back from Belém, Brazil, which is the Amazon, first time in the Amazon. I've been to Brazil 6 times in the last 8 months, but I've never been to the Amazon. And it was an amazing time, brought an amazing individual with me right here. And we had an amazing time, and God did amazing miracles. And I just, it always blows my mind, the hunger around the world. You know, and I think we've talked about this, the familiarity of just, you know, what we have in our own church often. You know, don't forget to stay hungry. If you want to stay hungry, eat. The more you eat, the more hungry you are. You know that? The more capacity you have to fill. The bigger your stomach gets, the bigger your capacity, right? It's no longer enough just to have a little bit. And I want to encourage you, eat in this season with God. Are you here this morning? Take a coffee break. I'm going to take one for you here. I want to encourage you to eat in this season because we need hunger. Hunger is what fuels our relationship with God. If there's no hunger, there's no love. If there's no desire to go deeper, no desire to pursue Him, no desire to pursue what matters to Him, we miss it. We miss it. And I want to encourage you, ask God to give you if you don't have a hunger in this season. And I believe He will. I spoke six times in 4 days, swam in the Amazon River and didn't get eaten. A bunch of people pressured me to swim in the Amazon River. My wife and my kids were like, don't go swimming. Because last time I went, years ago, my wife and I were in Jamaica, and I went and I swam. I was the only guy on the tour that swam in a crocodile-infested river. And my wife said, no more, never again. So when you go to the Amazon, don't swim. But my wife wasn't there, so guess what? I jumped in the water, didn't get eaten by a piranha or an anaconda. It's all, my only grid for the Amazon is like anacondas and piranhas. I don't know about you. What do you guys think about when you think about the Amazon? Same thing? Or like parasites that go into your body through the holes in your body and get in. Like, I don't know. That's all I can think about. But thank God. I don't know if I have a parasite. We'll find out in the next couple months. We'll find out. What? Yes, thank you. Thank you for that faith. You know, I have to say that, you know, Eduardo and Juliana came from Brazil, and now I'm going to Brazil. It's like, you came to Canada, and there's been a little bit of a reverse. Eduardo says to me now, he's like, you've been to more places than I have almost in Brazil. And I so love our Brazilian family and all that God is doing over there. Amazing things took place. I mean, miracles took place as usual when we travel, and amazing things. There was one gentleman, 25 years deaf in his left ear, totally healed. One young woman who had flat feet since she was a child. Their arches begin to grow in her feet for the first time since she was a child. She had no pain because of the flat-footedness. And we had so many amazing, weird deliverances. One woman was getting delivered, went to the bathroom and puked up this sticky substance. I mean, just wild things. One young woman who was believing to get pregnant, I had a word that there would be pregnancies in the next 3 months, and 41 years old, never been pregnant. We began to pray, and she felt something vibrating on the inside of her stomach, went to the bathroom, and she started to bleed. like just wild stuff like this was happening. Just wild miracles, wild deliverance type moments. And so we're going to see the outcome of this in coming months. I'm so excited. And just amazing things, bones and shoulders and all kinds of amazing conditions just totally restored. Because Jesus is a healer. And he restores all things. And so I'm excited about this morning. We're going to, you know, talk about what we would have talked about 2 weeks ago. And I want to bring it to Acts chapter 2. I already read it actually for you, so I don't have to go back to it. But we're celebrating in this season, we're celebrating the Holy Ghost, that he came 50 days after Jesus died. 50 days, 40 days, he walked, walked as a resurrected man. 10 days later, the Holy Ghost and power came. And the church was born. You know that the day the church was born, 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus because of a crazy, wild party that took place. A party in a room where people looked and appeared like they were out of their mind. They looked drunk. They looked drunk. It looked like a big slosh fest. That's what it looked like. And they said, are these people drunk? And Peter had to get up and say, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. This is what Joel prophesied about, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And so when the Holy Spirit shows up, it looks different than normal life. When the Holy Spirit shows up, it looks different. It looks more like a party. It looks a little bit chaotic sometimes. It looks a little bit messy. When a big wave comes to the shore, guess what it stirs up? Some stuff on the bottom of the ocean. And so we want the Holy Ghost to show up in our lives in power. Now, we all, if you're a follower of Jesus, have the Holy Ghost on the inside. But we want the Holy Ghost in power to overfill and overflow us over and over and over and over again. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be filled, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And he juxtaposes these two worlds together because he says you could be drunk on the world's drink or you could be drunk on my drink. You could be drunk on the world's drink and it will cause you to do things that are contrary to your normal, timid, shy, fearful of man character. You'll be bold all of a sudden. You'll say things that you wanted to say all the time, but you didn't want to say it because you were sober and now you're drunk, and so you're just free, and then you regret it the day later. But in the Holy Ghost, when you're drunk in the Holy Ghost, you will be bold and you will do things that you wouldn't normally do, and you will live righteously, and you will. That's why Paul says be filled constantly. Be filled, be drunk constantly in the Holy Ghost. Be drunk constantly in the Holy Ghost. Over and over and over again. Be under his influence. Drive under the influence your life. That's what he's saying. Live in a permanent DUI. Do you hear that? You're called to drive your life under the influence of God. Guess what? No one's going to stop you except the enemy try to stop you. No one's going to pull you over except the enemy. He might give you a ticket, but you just keep driving. Because you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost. This is what Paul is trying to get us to understand. Don't be under the world's intoxication. Be under God's intoxication. Because then you'll live right, you'll do right. And I think so often we forget the role of the Holy Ghost in our life. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. Our relationship with God. I want you to take some notes because I'm going to teach a little bit. Our relationship with God only exists because of the Holy Spirit. You know that? You can only know God right now, present day, because of the Holy Ghost. He is not a lesser person of the Trinity. He's not an it, a thing, an oil, a dove. Not a fix. Not an injection. Not a line you snort. He's a person. And he is powerful. And he is the person of the Godhead present with us in this realm right now. He is God in us. You know that. He is God in us. He is God with us, the person of the Holy Spirit. I've been in churches where they didn't even talk about the Holy Spirit. The church the time when I gave my life to Jesus and the church that I was going to at that time, I don't recall any moment hearing about the Holy Spirit. That's why when I really, for the first time, read John and Jesus said, when I go, I'll send another, I actually thought another guy was coming. I hadn't come yet. I hadn't heard the talk, the teaching. I hadn't seen it in the Word. I hadn't seen it. I didn't understand it. The Holy Spirit was already in me. 2 Corinthians, let's go there together. 2 Corinthians. Are you guys with me? Are you guys here? Present, okay. You're not falling asleep in these comfortable Cineplex chairs. Man, we get a building, we're going to make them really uncomfortable. Let's go back to pews. Hard, cold in the building, pews. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Listen to how Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Corinth, he closes the book with this statement. I love this statement, powerful statement. There's such gold in this statement. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion, everyone say communion, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. This is a great, it's a great breakdown of a prayer. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is undeserved. Grace is the enabling power of God for you to live the Spirit-filled life. If you did not have God's grace, you could not live the Spirit-filled life. You could not be led by the Spirit. Grace is the enabling power that's undeserved. It's undeserved favor. But deeper than that, it's the enabling power of God to live the life you're called to live. Without grace, you cannot live. Okay? So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, where was that grace expressed? On a cross and in an empty tomb. Taking the punishment of sin of all humanity on a cross and then resurrecting, leaving an empty tomb, in that moment, he spoke a word of grace over our lives to empower us to live the resurrected life just as he did. Because we've been raised with Christ and now seated with him in heavenly places. We live in heaven right now while we're on the earth. That's the beautiful thing about the good news is that we live two places at once. We're a bi-located being. We live in two realms at the same time. That's why we can bring heaven to earth, because we live there. We're just bringing where we live down here, where we live temporarily. That's our eternal home, and this is our temporary home, and we bring our eternal reality into our temporary one. That's why we can pray heaven to earth. We don't pray earth to heaven. We're not trying to plead God to come down. No, we're coming down with heaven, and we're administrating heaven on the earth. That's kingdom. So, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, how is the love of God expressed? Through the cross. For God so what? John 3:16, loved the world that he gave. Generosity is at the core of the gospel. He loved the world, loved you so much that he gave his one and only son to die on a cross for you. He prays this prayer, the grace, the revelation of generosity, the revelation of the love of God, that he says this, and the communion. Everyone say communion. The communion of the what? Of the Holy Ghost. The communion of the it? No. The communion of the oil? No. The communion of the Holy Ghost, God himself, be with you all. Why? Because Jesus ascended and sent another. He went and then he sent an empowering part of himself literally, in spirit, to dwell in humanity. So the communion, so what does it mean? Because he's praying, let the communion, not just the Holy Ghost be with you all, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. He doesn't just want the Holy Ghost to be with you all, he wants the communion. Paul's saying, let the communion, I commune with the Holy Ghost. You know what Paul bragged about? One of the things that Paul bragged about, he said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That was a big flex, yes. He's like, you guys are arguing about all kinds of things, you know, yeah, I get it. When you're in a group setting, you know, pray an intelligible word so people may understand. Or if you're going to give a message in tongues, make sure there's an interpretation. But there's also a personal prayer language that where your spirit utters mysteries to God, your mind is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. And he says, guys, listen, I thank God, you know, you guys can talk about this all you want. I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. Like, you're nothing compared to me. Like, I'm in communion with the Holy Ghost. 80 to 90% of my worship is praying in tongues. I realized very quickly, I don't know how to pray sometimes. I can go through a laundry list of prayers. I can pray. I can intercede. But at the end of the day, man, I know when I'm praying in tongues, my spirit now is connecting and communing with the Holy Spirit. And then when I do pray, I know I'm praying right. I don't think we understand the power of this. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues this morning. That's another conversation, another teaching. But I do want to say that Paul is trying to get us to have an understanding of not just the Holy Ghost being with you all, like the Presbyterians and the Anglicans, the Baptists and all the other denominations. He's saying, guys, I want you to commune with the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to commune? Well, that word, if you break it down in the Greek, is the word koinonia. And it actually means partnership. It means to participate. A word broken down even deeper could actually be described as social, listen to this, intercourse. It's such an intimate form of conversation. It's like a social form of intercourse, of oneness happening in conversation. When Paul said, let the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all, I want you to so socially connect that it's likened to becoming one in spirit, which you already are, with the Holy Ghost. There is a synergy that begins to happen when you become one, or when you act as one, because you are one. But when you act as one through conversation and communion, when you act as one, you will live the life you're called to live. Communion, contribution, fellowship, intimate conversation. So write this down if you're taking notes. Holy Ghost is, let's fill in the blank. Holy Ghost is, I don't even like saying the Holy Ghost. It's like saying the Sean, the God. Which God? God. He is God. He is one. There is one God. The Holy Ghost, I don't like it. But I get it. Whatever. Holy Ghost is, and I remember, like, man, my experience, when I first got into this part of my relationship with God, understanding the person, not only the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Ghost, I didn't fully understand the person of the Holy Ghost. I got the Father, I got the Son, because they're one, and I always, how I would describe it is like the Son outside. The Son is one. You go outside, you see the Son, like a big light right now, like that spotlight. The Son, right? The Son is God. The light that it gives off, the Son is like, it's the Father. The light that it gives off is Jesus. And the heat that you feel is the Holy Spirit. But you can't take parts of those away. They're all one. You take one part, you don't have the whole, right? Three in one. You are body, soul, and spirit. You are made in the likeness of God. God said in the beginning, Genesis 1, let us make man in our, plural, our image. Not my image, our image. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. John chapter 1, Jesus was the Word with God in the beginning. The Holy Spirit was with God in the beginning, brooding over the face of the deep with God. So let us make man in our image, in the same way that we are three in one, I will make man, body, soul, and spirit. And I remember when I was learning this part, I was a brand new believer, and I remember I got this book by this Baptist guy, and I was reading this book. It was a great book, great theology on the person of the Holy Spirit. And I remember the opening chapter, though, kind of was trash talking, at this time I had no grid, a move of God that had happened in the 90s. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And they were talking about different manifestations and stuff. And I had no grid, so I was like, oh, that's interesting. Wow, okay. And then I got another book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit, which was a total opposite sort of, you know, it was like black and white, total opposites. And it like revolutionized my world. But before I got those books, there was a book that was given to me called God Chasers by a guy named Tommy Tenney. And, man, I remember before I got that book, I was at a men's retreat, and I was playing drums at this men's retreat, And I was only walking with God for a few months, and I've been really asking God, God, I want this baptism of the Holy Ghost. Like I want to experience your power. I read about it in the book of Acts. Now I was experiencing things, but I just felt like I was missing something. There was something missing. And I want this gift of tongues. Paul said, like, you know, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. But he lists nine of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and one of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which is, you know, speaking in tongues and you know, uttering mysteries with your spirit, and your mind doesn't understand, but it's a personal prayer language. And I'm like, I want that. How do I get that? What do I do for that? And nobody could really help me in my Alliance Church. Nobody could really assist me. I'm like trying to meet with some Pentecostals. They couldn't even really help me because they just kind of grew up with it. They didn't have a grid for how or how it works. And nobody could really help me. And so someone gave me this book called God Chasers. But right before that book was given to me, I was on a retreat. This was 2 weeks prior to that book given to me. And I'm in a group of, I'm with a group of like, I don't know, 9 to 12 guys in this bunker, this bunk bed room. And I'm a very active sleeper. Anybody that's ever, you know, well, my wife, but if I've had, like, if I've shared a room with Matt, it would know. I'm a very active sleeper. I'll get up and I'll have conversations. I'll tell Matt sometimes if we're in the same room, like, talk back to me. Like, get information out of me. You'd be surprised what kind of gold will come out at night. And so I'm in this dream, and I'm with, like, 9 to 12 guys in the room. They're all, I'm like a new believer. And I'm in this dream, and I remember something about the Holy Spirit. I was experiencing something about the Holy Spirit. I can't remember the dream exactly, but then all of a sudden I woke up out of a dead sleep. My body like arched out of bed, and I woke up to myself saying in a repeated way, "Do we really know God's Spirit? Do we really know God's Spirit? Do we really know God's Spirit?" That's how I woke up. So I woke up to myself saying it. I'm out of bed. I'm looking all around. I'm like, oh, man, like, who's listening to this? And I could feel, like, the power of God, like, surging through my body. So, man, I'm like, this is crazy. And about a week later, somewhere in there, it was like, I don't know the timeline, I was given this book called God Chasers. And I opened the book up. And one of my mentors at the time said to me, I think it's going to happen to you this week. If you're going to have this encounter. And I opened this book up, God Chasers, and the introduction, this is what it read. We think we know where God lives. We think we know what he likes. And we are sure we know what he dislikes. We have studied God's word and his old love letters to the churches so much that some of us claim to know all about God. But now, listen to this. This is what, it was crazy. Now people like you and me around the world are beginning to hear a voice speak to them with persistent, because it was repetitious, I woke up saying it three times, persistent but piercing repetition in the stillness of the night. I'm not asking how much you know about me. I want to ask you, do you really know me? Do you really want me? And I read that and I'm like, this is exactly my encounter. As I was on this pursuit, that same week, I had an encounter in my 1992 Topaz car in Barrhaven, leaving a Tim Hortons. And let me just tell you, I was on cloud nine. 2.5 hours later, I was on cloud nine. I had a baptism of the Holy Ghost in my car. I remember getting out of my car on my driveway and, like, barely able to walk, like kneeling on my driveway, barely able to walk. People must have thought, the neighbors, if they were watching, for sure he's been driving drunk. Let's call the cops. Like, I was a mess. For 2.5 hours, I felt like I was levitating. Changed my life. Now, since then, I've had multiple, many hundreds of other moments like this that are simply an infilling, an overflow of the Holy Ghost in my life. And we need this over and over again. I want to ask you the question, who is Holy Spirit? He is our guide. He is our teacher. He is our counselor. He is our friend, comforter, helper, empowerer, leader, God himself. You know, he's our worship leader. Philippians 3 verse 3 says we can't even worship God except by the Spirit. He's our worship leader. We can't even say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, which is why the way we test the Spirit is the Spirit behind the Word. It's not just the Word. It's the Spirit behind the Word. Someone gives a weird prophetic word. I'm like, how? What's the spirit behind that word? What's the motivation? What's it sourced from? In the Old Testament, Moses could go to the Father. In the New Testament, the disciples could go to the Son. And now we have the Holy Spirit to go to and through, so we understand who Jesus is as a representation of the Father of all creation. This is the chain of command. This is how it works. Are you with me? He's the one that fellowships and communes with us. What isn't he? Like I said earlier, he's not a liquid, not an it, a lesser person of the Trinity, a weird spirit, boring, people pleaser, rude, a respecter of persons, selfish, unsatisfying, not someone who puts up with sin, not emotionless. Listen to this. He's not a gentleman. I don't know where that came into play. Bad theology. The Holy Spirit is not a gentleman. If you surrender your life to Jesus and you go all in, let me just tell you, he will cause you and influence you to do things that are outside of your character. Like, well, you know, just read the Bible. The Bible is full of wacky, weird things. Now, let me just make this caveat. You don't have to be weird to do weird things. I've done a lot of weird things, but it doesn't make me weird. I know a lot of weird people that do weird things. They're just weird. And that's why they don't have a lot of social, they don't have a lot of friends, a lot of community. They're just weird on all fronts. I've done a lot of weird things. Doesn't mean I'm weird. But he's not a gentleman. He's not a gentleman. I mean, I was in I've been in meetings before where literally, like, I remember one time I went through this prayer line and I fell flat on my face. Like, I mean, talking about, like, I was paralyzed. They had to drag me across this was a big church, across the entire auditorium. And for the next 48 hours, I had a visitation from God. God deposited something in my left hand. I won't tell you what that is. He deposited something in my life. I had like a discernment gift that came on my life after that point. I could discern certain things. And it was like the craziest experience. 48 hours, 2 days, over 2 days, this encounter lasted. But man, it looked weird. I was like a mess. I remember, like, I don't even remember how I got to where I got. I don't remember how I got to home. I don't remember how I got in the car. I mean, people just dragged me. I don't know what happened, but I was in an encounter. You'll have weird experiences sometimes, but it doesn't mean you have to be weird as a person. You know, Jesus did a lot of weird things. But man, he was like, why did the prostitutes love him so much? Why did the tax collectors love him so much? Why did the drunks and why did they love him so much? Because he was able, not only did he do weird things, but he was like a down-to-earth, he was fully God, fully man. So he's not a gentleman. But I do want to talk about what he is. Number one, write this down. He is the promise of our future. He is the guarantee of our inheritance. I need to speed through this. He is the guarantee of our inheritance. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us. Verse 22. And he has, listen to this, identified. Everyone say identified. You don't identify yourself, newsflash. Well, I identify as a black shirt wearing male. No, you don't identify yourself. God identified you. You were born, identified you. You're a man, you're a woman, period. You make up all the crap you want. It's wrong. You're wrong. You're living a lie. Okay? Just saying. That's a lie. Let's confront it. It's a lie. God's not confused. God's like, shoot, I made a big mistake. It was supposed to be a girl, but he was a boy. Shoot. Now it's up to him to deal with it. What kind of God would do that? God doesn't make mistakes. The Bible says you were formed and fashioned before you were in the womb. Took a little man over here, a little woman, and then he put you in the womb. You were already a man, you were already a woman, and put you in the womb. He slid you through and slid you out. Some of it didn't slide out so quick for you, but that's the premise. You were already predestined to be who you are. He identifies you. It's a good thing to say in the month of June. He identifies you. He has sealed us as his own. Verse 22, he has identified, the word actually is sealed, us. He sealed you in your identity. He has identified you as his own by placing, listen to this, how? How has he identified you as his own? By placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. That word guarantee in the Greek is actually a business term. It actually speaks of what we call earnest money, a part of a purchase price paid in advance as a down payment. He's put his down payment on you. It's in real estate terms, it's a security deposit. It literally means he's put a security deposit on you as the guarantee of what's coming. Because something better is coming. A better future is coming. An eternal future is coming. A redeemed body, restored earth is coming. New heaven, new earth. It's the purchase price, down payment, the first installment of the rest of the price that will come. So the Holy Spirit is the seal that speaks to the future. It's the seal that says, I've identified you as my son, as my, actually, you're all sons, by the way. Because if we can be called the bride, women, you can be called son. So we're all sons, okay? Yes, your daughters, sure, whatever. But you're all sons in the scripture. Because sons actually were given the inheritance, not the daughters, sorry. Scripturally speaking, watch why you're called sons. Sons had the inheritance. Sons carried on the legacy. Sons had a double portion. Sons had rights that daughters didn't. So you're called sons in the spirit, identified as sons. Don't get your identity confused now. The first installment for a guarantees full possession. It means money paid to confirm a contract. That's powerful. Being sealed, when he says sealed, literally means the authority to access. Because you've been sealed, because he's identified you as a son, he shields you with the power of the Holy Spirit, you have authority to access. Listen to this. Authority to access, guarantee is the deposit. This seal, this identity, is the guarantee and is your deposit as a first installment that is likened to a reservation sign. You've been reserved. I've reserved you. I've reserved you. You're called to do great things while you live, but I've reserved you for a heavenly calling. I've reserved you for something even better. The power of the Holy Spirit is the seal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing, what's the very thing? The new body, the resurrected body, the new heaven, the new earth. He has prepared us for this very thing, who also has given us a spirit, his spirit, the spirit, as a guarantee. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, listen to this, having believed, you were sealed with Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. He's the guarantee of our inheritance. He's the guarantee of what will be until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory, speaking to the future, the resurrected body, new heaven, new earth. People are attracted to the inheritance on the inside of you. They're attracted to the seal. Mark and I came with me. We were at on the way back from Brazil. We were in the lounge, and this woman probably in her, like, I don't know, early 60s. I don't know how old she was. She looked younger than she probably was, but because Brazilians often look younger than they actually are. But anyways, she comes in, and she interrupts our conversation. We're in the lounge at the São Paulo airport, and she comes up to Mark, and she's like, you're big. You're really big. And she looks at me, she's like, you're big too, but you're really big. And she's just like, she was just drawn to our table. She's like, you must be a fighter. Now, it's funny because we were talking about, I don't know if it was before or after, about how that time when I was in the L.A. airport and Ottawa airport where these guys were convinced that I was a fighter, and that was a word that I was about to move into the fight of my life. And so it was funny because we had that conversation. But anyways, all to say, she sat down with us, and we ended up praying for her. But I know these moments. Like, I recognize these moments. Like, although Mark is big in stature, you know, good-looking guy, you know, looks like a fighter, she was drawn to something on the inside. She didn't know it. That's often how it works, you know that? Even if it's evil, you can be attracted to something on the inside. There's a draw. It's like a magnetic draw when it's evil even too, you know that? But people that are all of a sudden drawn to you for some reason, pay attention. There's something, their spirit, they're not looking for that, but their spirit is. Remember, the beggar did not want healing. He wanted money, but he needed healing. She wanted a conversation, but she needed prayer. People are drawn to you because they want to talk to you, but really what's because they need something from you. And it takes you to discern that in those moments. Okay, why is this person, like, you know, why is this happening? It's the inheritance on the inside. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit. Number two, write this down. He is counselor. He is counselor. He is called Counselor, John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus is speaking, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, if I don't leave, the helper, the counselor, the word is counselor, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. But it's better that I go. It's better that I leave. That I give you an opportunity to live without me. But guess what? I'm going to send you another. He will guide you into all truth. He will counsel you. The Greek word for counselor is the word parakletos in the Hebrew, which literally means one called alongside to help. It means comforter. It means encourager. It means advocate. Advocate. Counselor. Man, I'm always asking God for this. Like, God, what's the counsel in this moment? Like, I don't understand what to do. When we were in Brazil, the Amazon, I'm not much of a tourist. Like, I've traveled a lot around the world. I'm not much of a tourist. Like, I've been in Egypt. I've been to the greatest museums, and I'm like, I've been in the pyramids, and I'm like, great. You know, it's like a little room. I'm hot. I'm uncomfortable. All that for nothing. You know, like, you know, maybe if I saw a mummy walking around, or, you know, got to go into the coffin or something. I don't know. Like, it'd be different. But it was just like, I'm not much. I know I enjoy it. Like, I'm thankful that I got the opportunity to do those things in my life, and I'm thankful, and I'll do them. But I'm not like that kind of guy. Like, museums, I'm like, I want to walk through quick. Say that I did it. I'm not like they're having long conversations. Oh, look at this. And, oh, did you know? Like, and especially with the tour guide. I'm like, the only place I'm okay with it is Israel, by the way. Israel, man, it's amazing. Tour guide me all day long. I'm fine in Israel. But everywhere else in the world, it doesn't as much interest me. But all that to say, when we were there the first day, or it was actually the second half day anyways, we were there. They brought us to the Amazon jungle, which was great. Like, I'm so thankful. It was awesome. But I'm just, like, not present. If I'm about to go into six sessions, like, I can't embrace this moment right now. So I'm in my head. I'm in my head all the time. Like, God, like, yeah, this is great. Awesome. Wow, amazing. Like, trees that can walk. I'm super amazed. Spiders, like, parrots, chickens walking around, like, great, all kinds of cool things happening. I'm really, honestly, genuinely loving it, but I'm not fully able to be present because all I'm thinking about is my assignment that the next 4 days are crazy, and I don't feel ready because I never feel ready. I never feel ready. I don't know about you, but I never feel ready for anything. You know, I never feel fully ready. I think if you feel fully ready, then you start relying on yourself. So I think God, for me at least, lets me never feel fully ready, so I rely on Him. And I have to wrestle it through, you know. It's like shadow boxing constantly. And so I'm like not present. But then I'm walking and we're on this tour for like maybe, I don't know, a couple hours. We go on a boat. We're in the Amazon River. Just like I pictured, guys are in little tree boats, you know, doing like the thing that I imagined in my mind, you know, like really cool. People are living in huts. Like a really cool experience. And we start walking in the forest, and we get to this one area. It's full of acai trees. 90% of the world's acai comes from Belém, Brazil. Acai is a fruit. And we get to this one area, and I'm walking on like this, it's like a wet, it's very wet, because it rains every day in the Amazon. and it's very wet, and I'm walking, and it's muddy, and I'm walking towards these acai trees, and all of a sudden, I go into this, like, encounter, and I can feel the presence of God, and I'm like, I was here in a dream. And in one moment, I knew that I was supposed to be here. That despite anything else going on in my head or my mind, because I was praying the whole time during that tour. I'm like, Holy Spirit, give me, like, I want to embrace this, but I'm just not there. I got this, like, stuff I got to do, and I'm like, I'm just not there. And all of a sudden, it was like I knew I was supposed to be here. We ended up having this encounter on the boat on the way back with one of the leaders and who was getting wrecked by God. A spirit of prophecy came on me while we were on the boat. It was a powerful moment. But I knew that I was supposed to be there. And in those moments, it's like the Holy Spirit comes as counselor. Says, I got you. I'll give you insight into why you're here. And I'll make you able to embrace this moment. I'll allow you to embrace this moment. I know your head's not here, but here's some insight. Now you can embrace this moment. I can't tell you how many times I've had this experience. Happened to me when I was in Asia for the first time. I was in a mall. Same thing happened to me. I think it was an escalator. I was going up. I'm like, I was here in a dream. In those moments, I'm always so thankful for the counsel of the Holy Spirit, who just lets you feel like you're in the right place at the right time. And I love always the outcome and the result of those moments afterwards. It's amazing. But he is our counselor. He is our helper. He is our encourager, our comforter. Number three, write this down. He is our conviction. He is conviction. John 16, verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world. Listen to this. Say world. Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Man, I remember when I first came back to my work, I got a job. After I had my encounter with God, I went through a six-month season of, like, visitation, prayer, 4 to 8 hours a day. Amazing things were happening. It was, like, foundation in my life. And I got a job about 7 months later. And I remember going back to this job, and I made it my objective. And I worked predominantly with Muslims. But I made it my that next season after that. And I made it my objective for the next jobs that I would have, that I would minister to every coworker. That was my objective. And I'm like, because I know these jobs weren't my forever jobs, so I'm gonna leverage these moments to practice my life in the kingdom. Because you know that every job and every moment you have is an opportunity to practice kingdom life. You know that, right? Like everything you do, everywhere you are, is an opportunity to practice kingdom life. And so I remember this one guy, and I hadn't really had a lot of conversations with him yet at this point, but I remember one day I walked and I had been praying like that morning and that night before about God. Just I pray that people would feel your presence, like they'd feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit on my life. And I remember walking to work or going to work this day, and this guy stops me and says, you know what? I don't know what it is, man. It's kind of weird. Whenever I get around you, I just feel like something really weird, like really special, and like I want to be better. I don't know what it is. I want to be better. I want to do better. I'm like, this is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that these conversations, these moments open up doors of conversation. That's my prayer. I pray that when you come into a room, people feel the presence of God with you and around you and in you. It's what happened to Peter when his shadow, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Peter the same way the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary at conception, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed Peter, and when he would walk in his shadow, people would be healed. There was a presence about him. He is conviction. Number four, write this down. I'm speeding through this now. Number four, he is leader. John 16, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Everyone say guide. He will guide you into all truth. Guide literally means to point out the way or to lead one on his way to the fullness of truth. That's what it means. To guide you, the Holy Spirit guiding you is to point out the way on the road to the fullness of truth, to point out the way. He is our tour guide. I used to always say this, you know, in the early years of our ministry, like, the Holy Spirit is the tour guide of the kingdom for us. He's like the guide. He's the guide that, you know, often I don't like listening to in the natural, but he's the guide I love listening to in the kingdom, because he's like, hey, over here, you know, there's a miracle over here, there's a word over here, you know, this is your calling over here, this is like, you know, he's the tour guide. He's guiding us into the truth of what we are called to live out daily. He is the tour guide in our lives to the kingdom. He points out the way. I was in a meeting not too long ago in Montreal, and I was, God, point out the way. How am I supposed to lead this meeting? It was the first night of the conference, and I was the guest speaker, and I'm like, I usually always bring a word, and I minister, but tonight, I just feel like I couldn't bring a word. I'm like, God, what's the word? He said, you're going to minister the whole time. You're going to prophesy. You're going to move in word of knowledge the whole time. So for an hour and a half straight, I just ministered. But I said to God, I'm like, what's the word? What's the one word that's going to open up the atmosphere? And I saw a vision of a pair of white Nike shoes with a colored check mark, like a colored check. And it was like a smaller meeting. And so I said, who here is wearing white Nike shoes with a colored, and it was a very specific color check, like a very specific. One guy stands up. He had white Nike shoes with the exact color that I saw in my vision. And I didn't have a word yet. All I had was, that was the starting point. I had the starting point. So I went with it. And man, I ended up, this guy just got rocked and the whole atmosphere shifted. And that kind of opened up the atmosphere for the next hour and a half of amazing, incredible ministry. But I asked these moments, I asked these questions to God. God, what is, how do you want to lead this moment? You're the tour guide. Show me how to access the realm of the kingdom in this moment. It's always surrender. It's always obedience. Number five, write this down. He is communicator. We're almost done. He is communicator. He is communicator. John 16, verse 12 to 15. For he will not, who will not? Holy Spirit. For he will not speak on his own authority. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority. In other words, it will not go against anything Jesus has ever taught. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will show you the future. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Did you hear that? So Jesus said, all things that are in the Father are mine, and all things that are in me are his. Do you hear that? Do you see the working relationship, three in one? Are you seeing that? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He will remind you things that I've taught. He will take what is in me, things concerning me, and he'll make it known to you. In other words, if you're in relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will fall in love with the person of Jesus even more. Because Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, points us to all truth. Who is truth? Jesus points us in that direction all the time. All the time. All the time. He does not speak on his own authority, but he points us back to Jesus, who points us back to the Father, because the Son is the exact, Hebrews says, representation of the Father. When we're pointed back to the Son, we see the Father. He is the communicator. He knows the thoughts of God. You know that no one knows what God is thinking except the Holy Spirit. You know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Your spirit knows what you're thinking. You don't often. But your spirit is conscious of it. It says this, even so, no one knows the things of God except who? The Spirit of God. No one knows the things of God. You cannot know the things of God without the relationship with the Holy Spirit. You cannot know the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things. Yes, even the deep things of God. You want to go deeper? You want to grow? You want to mature? Get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Last point, and then we're done. Number six, he is power. He is power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. What will you receive? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. You will receive energy. You will receive new life. You will receive restoration. You will receive an ability to live a life that you've always wanted to live. You'll receive power to prophesy? No. You'll receive power to speak in tongues? No. You'll receive power to, you know, do amazing miracles? No, although all those things are an extension of everything that I'm going to talk about. But you will receive power to be a witness. The word is martyr in the Greek. You'll be a martyr, to lay down your life. You'll receive power and ability to lay down your life, fully surrendered life. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to lay down your life fully, to be the witness that God's called you to be. Some of you need a big Holy Spirit blast because you're like a California raisin. Dry. You know, Christianity should be the funnest thing on planet Earth. It's the hardest thing, but the funnest thing. The hardest thing, but the most rewarding thing. The hardest road, but the best road. Definitely isn't an easy road. It's a really hard road, but it's the funnest road. And if your spiritual life is boring, it's because you are boring. And you've let a revelation of God be blinded from you or robbed from you because you've accepted a boring life in your own life. You've accepted it yourself, and so somehow that's how you see God. This is how I am. This is how I see God. It's like the person that says, well, I'm not expressive. Like, go to church, and it's like, you know, looking at the worship, we're talking about joy, and we're like, I am in joy. Joy, joy, joy. And you're like, you're rigid. No, you're like, that's not, you've just decided to let your personality rob you of the Holy Spirit's ability to actually overwhelm you in joy, real joy. It's a choice to lean in. If you put your light hand into a light socket, you will get zapped. Take a knife and stick it in that outlet and watch what happens. Don't do it, but watch. Something will happen. You cannot touch the person of the Holy Spirit without getting zapped. You will look different. You will sound different. So I implore you, spend time with the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Let him fill you. Let him overwhelm you. I want you to stand up with me. We're going to pray. And I'm going to invite some of the ministry team to the front. We're going to pray. I know we have timelines here at this movie theater, but I want to give an opportunity. There's people in this room, number one, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. You don't know what would happen to you if you were to die today. Maybe you're on the fence. You've had a rough go in the last season. This is a time to make your life right, a time to set the record straight and say, yes, this season I'm going to be all in. I'm going to get off the fence. I'm going to get off the fence of indecision. I'm going to get off the fence of trying to live two worlds, two lives, double life, 1 foot with the, you know, things I shouldn't be doing, 1 foot over here. And I'm just going to get off the fence today. Maybe that's you. You need to get off the fence. Just make a decision to come all in. Paul makes it very clear, Romans 10, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead and you will be saved. Everything will change in that moment. That's the starting point. And I want you to close your eyes just for a few moments before we transition here. If that's you, I want to encourage you just to make that decision today by saying, Jesus, I've wronged you, but I'm all in this season. I receive your forgiveness. I want to move into relationship with you today. I want confidence and assurance that I'm in the right place at the right time, and I want to know you. I want to know you in relationship. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day, and I want to know you. I want to be raised to new life. I want new life. I want to experience new life. For all of us in this room, I want to pray en masse. I want to encourage you right now to lift your hands. We're going to move somewhere in the Spirit right now. We're going to move somewhere. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon many of you. You might feel the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in your body. You might feel the power of the Holy Spirit. You might feel a peace inside. You might feel a strength come into your body. Maybe you need a healing in your body, healing in your bones, healing in some area of your life. Maybe you need a healing. There's a critical condition you're living with. The doctor said there's not a lot of hope for you. I don't know what it is for you this morning, but the Holy Spirit knows what you need. And the Holy Spirit also knows your hunger and your desire. And some of you have been asking God for more, to experience more. Well, today I believe you're going to experience more.